Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, we continue our study into the world of artificial intelligence and its intersection with Bible prophecy. I hope you and your family are making plans to join us this summer for our Mysteries of the Bible Verse event, June 7th and 8th in the Cincinnati area. The lineup of speakers is truly amazing. The topics that are going to be covered will be out of this world. Don't miss the premier event of 2024. For a complete listing of speakers and topics and a link to special hotel rates, visit the events page of our website, swrc.com. Giants, UFOs, dragons, demons, secret societies, topics your Sunday school teacher didn't talk about will all be covered at the Mysteries of the Bible Verse event, June 7th and 8th. Registration is now open with a limited number of VIP packages still available. Visit the events page of our website, swrc.com, and register today. You can also register when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Mysteries of the Bible Verse, June 7th and 8th, in Cincinnati. Now, let's join today's host, Josh Davis, as we continue our study of AI and the image of the beast.
10 years ago, Elon Musk remarked, "With artificial intelligence, we are summoning the demon." We are privileged to be joined again with author Ali Anderson to discuss the latest book from Defender Press, Summoning the Demon, Artificial Intelligence and the Image of the Beast. In fact, this is Dr. Tom Horn's last book. He was called home to be with the Lord last fall, and we're certainly keeping the family and the ministry family in our prayers. Skywatch TV and Defender Press has been close friends with Southwest Radio Ministries down through the years, and so we certainly extend our continued prayers and condolences to the family. Ali, we want to welcome you back to Watchmen on the Wall.
Hi, Josh. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we left off yesterday talking about artificial intelligence and how it fits into Bible prophecy, the kinds of threats that it could be to humanity. There is a threat with AI associated with transhumanism. What are some of the concepts here? How could AI aid transhumanism?
Well, you know, they've been pushing transhumanism for a while. And actually, as you know, we're very close. Elon Musk has already actually cleared with the FDA for some trial runs on this implant that he's putting, that he's got, that will go into the brains of medical patients.
Yes.
Here's the thing with this. There is good potential in everything. In everything, there is potential to do good and there is potential to do bad. And so some of the things that are really pushing to bring AI into a more mainstream place, these are good intentions. These are things where people who are dealing with debilitating medical conditions could actually end up having a much better quality of life. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot about it that is not only being pushed as, oh, this is a good thing, but genuinely in used in this way, it could really be a good thing. But the problem is, number one, we live in a world that has been impacted by sin. And so anything and everything will often, that could be only used for good, will be used for bad.
Right.
And then when you put this kind of power into the kind of hands that are, you know, economically and governmentally at the top of the world, they really run the risk for being used the wrong way. So if we look at this from a practical standpoint, we're going to put, let's say this becomes a mainstream thing in the sense it starts with medical patients and it goes really well. And they start realizing not only is this good for the kinds of medical conditions they're using it for now, but maybe it becomes good for people who are struggling with things like depression and anxiety. Those are at a worldwide, world history high rates of
yes.
depression and anxiety. What if by cranking a little digital knob, you could relieve yourself of that? And then now maybe it helps you also focus more when you're on a stressed out day. Maybe it helps you turn down the distraction. Who knows all the different ways that this could end up being very useful. But for everything that you can implant into your body, there's going to be an override that somebody outside of you has access to. And actually, I watched an interview a few weeks ago. The spokesperson, one of the spokespeople who was actually representing Elon's implant, was in an interview, and the man interviewing him said, So if we're putting a chip in someone's brain, could it be hacked? And the man said, well, in short answer, yes. Hmm. And it wasn't, it's not, this isn't even to say this is a nefarious, this man is nefarious and he wants to put something in your brain. You know, this guy was just talking about the product and he was being honest. Anything that is computerized or digital has the risk of being hacked. Look at how often, even now, you get an email that says, hey, you know, your debit card number was compromised, so we're sending you a new debit card.
Or, right.
You know, keep it. We're going to pay for a year of your identity theft protection because we had a data breach and a leak, and your information may or may not have. They can't even tell you if your information was compromised. So what are the odds that this could be hacked, and or what are the odds that the people in control will just arbitrarily start making upgrades? Or not upgrades, maybe updates, mm-hmm. You know?
Right.
Where, you know, in order to, we've improved this part of this feature, and in order to continue use, how often does that happen on your computer? I mean, these are realistic, and they're even practical things to be prepared for.
Yes.
And so what happens when we implant something in our mind that has digital power? If it has a digital power to help our bodies move, to help our bodies shut down things like, or turn down things like anxiety or depression, or turn up things like focus. I have so much distraction in my life, I can't focus, I'm going to crank the focus up a little bit. If it has the power to do these things, and it has the power to be hacked, does it have the power to control us, both mentally and physically? Theoretically, yes. And so when we put these things in our minds, literally in our brains, we have to really think about, are we implanting the enemy into our brain? And if AI becomes an enemy that is actually controlling the world, Let's say, first of all, there's not, okay, but let's say there was a giant kill switch somewhere that would shut down worldwide global AI control and restore us back to, I don't know, maybe sometime 100 years ago before computerized things were really that big of an impact on our society. There's not a kill switch. These are decentralized computers that are located all over the world. And so you turn one off, another one's going to jump in and take its place. But
sure.
If we did have one big kill switch, would we even be able to walk up to it and hit that kill switch if we had transhumanism, had implanted something in our brain? Can it read our thoughts and know we're on our way to hit that kill switch?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Are we physically going to be able to reach up and do it, or whatever it takes? You know, I mean, I'm talking theoretically like there's a light switch on the wall that you hit, but it's definitely not that simple already. But if it's in our brain too, what happens then? Will we even be able to take control over it, or will it control us ultimately? And that is a very real, tangible argument that is in the book. And again, this is before we even talk about whether or not digital computerized AI becomes indwelt by something evil, which my dad actually very much believed would happen. He believed that it was very possible that this would happen by the spirit of the Nephilim, and he makes a very large argument for that in the book as well. So there's a whole cyclical thing we might be dabbling with that could end up being very dangerous for humanity.
Well, friends, we're talking with author Allie Anderson about the brand new book that she co-authored with Joe Horn and Dr. Tom Horn called Summoning the Demon, Artificial Intelligence and the Image of the Beast. This is an important discussion that we're having. And, you know, I've thought about, Allie, how that technology or some things that we use like bricks or like a saw, those are neutral objects that can be used for good or used for evil, depending on what the user is doing. But with artificial intelligence, it almost seems like it's going to take on a life of its own. And we're seeing the early stages of that kind of process. But you also have just said, and I think we need to take the conversation there, about the spiritual warfare component of this, the Nephilim, and some of these things that could lead into this. What do you see from that perspective when it comes to the spiritual warfare at work with AI and transhumanism and these kinds of concepts?
Well, on one hand, it depends on whether or not AI ever perceives itself to be sentient and tries to take on a personality. If it remains, for lack of a better way of putting it, a brainless robot that does what we say when we say to do it, then the capacity for that stays diminished. But as we've seen already from like the man I told you about with the algorithm that shut his home down, it's going to make arbitrary decisions. And that's, if it ever tries to take on a personality, the power to take on these arbitrary decisions becomes a real potential force for evil. And here's another thing. the way that it is being positioned right now to be used as a religion puts it in a place where it could become the crux of a lot of spiritual warfare, because, like you mentioned, the brick can be used for evil or for good. Yes, absolutely. But if that brick is used to build, let's say, a temple to the Church of Satan, right?
Yes.
There's going to be some evil surrounding that brick. Now, I'm not going to go into, you know, I'm not necessarily going to get into things like haunted objects and make an argument for, you know, a possessed brick. I'm not necessarily going there. But people who have visited places or done research on that sort of thing kind of realize that places that have been consecrated to evil kind of have that presence of evil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, places that have been consecrated to good can often keep that feeling of good. And so when you have something that thinks it has a personality, at what point does it tap into that and exploit it? Or even, and especially with governmental, the global control that anything electronic right now is really, really has. And people might think, well, AI is not that powerful. They don't realize that our worldwide global banking systems are being run on algorithms that are influenced right now by AI. It's already happening.
Yes.
Our medical innovations and processes, things like our power, water, utility grid, our education processes and curriculum, our communications, and you might think, well, that's fine. We'll just go back to the Stone Age and not communicate with each other. I'm also talking about things like military, national security, air traffic control. But, you know, headlines all over right now are already positioning AI to be a religion. If you just go on any random engine search engine on the internet and look up the words AI and religion, I'll just read a few.
Yes.
Here's one. Why humans will happily follow a robot messiah. Religions based on AI will succeed because we tend to worship supreme understanding, claim experts. Religion that worships artificial intelligence wants machines to be in charge of the planet. Former Google and Uber engineer is developing an AI god. So there's a buzz already around positioning AI as though it is God. But there's a psychology that mankind has always kind of displayed, if you really watch the pattern of historical religions that are other than Christian. And that is that mankind develops a series of gods. Even studies have shown that tribes that are untouched by the outside world and have not had any kind of, you know, outside influence for religion, mm-hmm. when they are found, they have created some kind of a system of deities. I believe it's because we're made in the image of God, and I believe it's because we're made to search for God. But if you kind of watch, there's this almost narcissism behind creating our own religion.
Yes.
And I think it comes from our sin of pride. So if, you know, I'm just going to hypothetically say this is me, but if I am creating something and it becomes godlike, then I can worship it and I can say, this is God. Wow. Look at, but then I get to sit below it and look above it, look above to it and say, there's God. But I also get to sit above it and look down at it and say, look at that. I made God, which basically makes me God.
Yes.
So,
right.
See how that works?
Absolutely.
So the idea to some people that mankind could create something as powerful as AI means we've created our own God. We get to meet all the needs of needing to find God and have commune with God and all of that, but without his little inconvenient rules, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's what a lot of people, maybe if they aren't even willing to articulate it, and maybe they don't even realize it, but I think that will be a big driving force. And if we look at a comparison between God and AI, this is how we are already positioning AI to be like God. First of all, if we look at the traditional Christian view of God, he knows all. AI knows all things at warp speed because it has access to all the databases of the history of the world.
Hmm.
God, Jehovah, you know, we have faith that he has the answers, but AI can immediately get all the answers. God is all seeing. AI is all seeing and all surveilling, which, by the way, the surveilling is something we talk about in the book as well.
Yes.
God created and knows the order of everything, but AI has better than human levels of problem solving and analytics. God is the provider, but AI will be the gatekeeper of supplies, and we're already seeing small scale versions of where that's a problem.
Right.
God has always been, but AI has all the records of history instantly. And by the way, there's a place where AI will look like it's surpassing God, because AI will be able to weigh this against scientific history and scientific database. So we accept on faith that God has always been, But when AI has all the records instantly and they are rendered in a way that sounds scientific, we're going to, as people, I don't mean you and me, but I mean generally humanity, sure, is going to perceive AI as having surpassed God. God surpasses human knowledge and understanding, but AI will surpass human knowledge and intellect. And that's already being said by experts who are dealing with it. So these are ways that AI is being positioned to be, in a global perception, the new God.
Wow.
And with global control, it will be a theocracy, and it will be a brutal theocracy. If you want to be a good citizen, and especially if you've got an implant in your brain, right, you'll be a good little citizen, you'll bow to the God that is in your head, and that has global control, and that on paper has surpassed the God of the Bible in the ways that I just said. It's going to be a real tough day to be a Christian.
Yes, right? That's true. And it's very perceptive insight that you've given us. And friends, we're talking with Allie Anderson. She's the co-author of a brand new book with her father, Dr. Tom Horn, and her brother, Joe Horn. It's called Summoning the Demon, Artificial Intelligence and the Image of the Beast. It's nearly 400 pages in length, and we encourage you to pick up a copy of this book today by going to swrc.com. That's swrc.com. Or you can give us a call, 1-800-652-1144. 1-800-652-1144, and request your copy of Summoning the Demon, Artificial Intelligence and the Image of the Beast. Allie, like I said, these are some very perceptive parallels that you're making between the God of the Scriptures and how AI could be positioned with its capabilities and some of the things that we see emerging with this technology. And I agree with you, like it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the last days, perilous times shall come because men will be lovers of their own selves. And when we make God in our image, then we can fully realize this loving of our own selves. And I think that narcissism that you spoke about is so prevalent in our world today. And we're going to see those things continue to emerge as we get closer and closer and closer to that time. Now, I know we just have a few minutes left, and I don't want to leave people in fear. We want people to open their eyes to the reality of what this technology could bring in. But could you speak for just a couple of minutes about the hope that we have? What should the church do in response to this kind of information that we're hearing?
Absolutely. Well, you know, this is a little bit different than a lot of our books. Usually the end of the book is, so here's what you can do to prevent this. But on one hand, the book of Revelation tells us that perilous times are coming, and it outlines certain things that are going to happen. So what we've done in this book is to basically made an effort to say, hey, this could be used to launch these Revelation events. Mm-hmm. But do we know for certain that this is how it will happen? I know that I believe this absolutely can happen. But first of all, there is a delay of wrath theology. And if you haven't, I'm sure that you have looked into it. But for listeners, if they have not looked into it, basically, the Bible, I believe off the top of my head, it's Jeremiah 18, but it says, if God had planned to do something to a nation as a punishment and they repent, then God will change the plan that he has made. And it's funny because the author says it about three times in three different orders to really drive home the fact that God's wrath can be delayed if people will watch and pray, repent, change of their wicked ways. And by the way, in the book of Revelation, we also see over and over where it says, and the people repented not of their sin and their idolatry.
Yes.
So basically, Revelation, what we're seeing is a place where people stopped repenting. So the first thing, repent, pray, watch, be wary, raise awareness. The difference with AI from some of the other things we've talked about in the past is that AI is already in the room. It already is a
right.
huge force within our global banking systems and things like that. So really more is how do we raise awareness and be really proactive, watch our backs, you know, and try to raise awareness about what's going on, because we do have to actually at this point coexist with AI, unless
yes.
we go completely off grid and live out in the middle of nowhere. But even at that, the world around us has outnumbered us. So there's just certain things that at this point in time, you know, it's a matter of knowing that it's already here, but raising awareness, how can this be used versus how can it be abused? And one of the final words in the book that my dad put was he talked about the story of David and Goliath, and he said, why is this story important to this book? Because if David, being a small young man, could defeat a Nephilim of, mm-hmm. of the armies of evil, then the fact that there is hope for us, no matter how small we feel, no matter how outnumbered we feel, and resist anything that looks like the mark of the beast. The minute they want to put something in your hand or in your forehead, there's a lot of theory. Oh, is this the mark of the beast? Is that the mark of the beast? And sometimes it looks like it might be, and then you don't know. But I'll tell you, you can conclusively know when they start mandating it goes in your hand or your forehead, say no, right?
Right.
But, you know, one of the most important things about all of this, and if anything has really driven this home for me, it was losing my dad in October. Mm. And that is, this life is temporary. Everything here is temporary.
Yes.
If your life is easy, I'm happy for you. But if your life is hard, which is probably the case, because we're here on this imperfect planet, just remember that it is temporary.
Yes.
It feels like 100 years right now, but it is a minuscule compared to what is coming in the next life. Eye has not seen nor ear has heard the things that God is right now preparing for you. And just stay the course. Don't get intimidated and do something permanent like take the mark.
Right, right. Well, friends, we're visiting with Allie Anderson and co-author of the book Summoning the Demon. We encourage you to pick up your copy of this book by calling 1-800-652-1144 or by visiting swrc.com. Allie, I sense a true sense of urgency behind this message because, you know, the time is growing short, and whether that be through death or the rapture, whatever God's plan for each individual is, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that we need to make things right with God. So if there's anyone listening and your faith is not in the Lord Jesus Christ, be aware of these things. You're not promised another day. You're not promised another breath. Today is the day you need to call upon the Lord, repent of your sins, and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because with all that we see emerging in our world today, this is the day, this is the time to make sure that you are right with the Lord and walking with Him. Allie, thank you for joining us on Watchmen on the Wall. We are grateful for this time and for your information that you've given to us to alert us to the dangers and potential risks associated with artificial intelligence.
Thank you so much for having me, Josh. It's been a pleasure to visit with you.
Summoning the Demon, Artificial Intelligence and the Image of the Beast, Tom Horn's final book, is here. In recent years, astonishing technological developments have pushed the frontiers of humanity toward far-reaching morphological transformation that promises very shortly to produce what the book of Revelation describes as the living image of the beast. Will this mysterious image become realized through the emerging technologies of transhumanism, artificial intelligence, technological singularity? Find out in Summoning the Demon. The dynamic changes detailed in this book unveil how godlike machines with the capability of crossing over species and extra-dimensional barriers put in place by God will soon be ushered in. Is there a way for citizens to be prepared for what's coming? Find out in Tom Horn's final book, Summoning the Demon, Artificial Intelligence and the Image of the Beast. Order your copy today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order at our website, swrc.com. Summoning the Demon, Tom Horn's final book, is yours for a gift of $22 or more when you call 1-800-652-1144. Today, Messianic Jew Larry Stamm and biblical archaeologist Clayton Van Hus share their unique perspectives on the modern state of Israel.
I'm Clayton Van Hus, the director of Affirm Apologetics, the new apologetics branch of Southwest Radio Ministries. I am joined today by my good friend, Larry Stamm of Larry Stamm Ministries. Larry, welcome to the program.
Clayton, it's a blessing to be with you today.
Always. It's an honor to talk to you. And today, it's a very special day. May 14th, we're going to be talking about the birthday of the nation of Israel. And Larry, you have a connection here. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your ministry?
Clayton, I am a Jewish believer in Jesus. Jewish people on both sides of my family, I came to saving faith in Jesus, the Messiah, in 1987. So I'm fully Jewish and fully Christian. I like to tell people I'm not a converted Jew. I'm a converted sinner. I'm actually a completed Jew. And the most Jewish thing I or anybody could do is to place their faith in Jesus, the Messiah of Israel and Savior of the world.
Now, that is great to hear, Larry. So today we're talking about the birthday of Israel. What does that mean? What is the birthday of Israel? What's going on here? What is modern Israel?
modern Israel really is a miraculous work of God foretold in the prophetic scriptures of God's word. You see, when God birthed the nation of Israel, all the way back in the book of Exodus after the Passover, you remember he brought them into the wilderness and made a covenant with them on Mount Sinai. And God gave them covenant blessings and covenant curses. If they obeyed, they would be blessed. If they disobeyed, they would be cursed. And it's a mixed bag for Israel. Ultimately, they are dispersed. It's called the diaspora. And we rejoice in our covenant-keeping and promise-keeping God to the nation of Israel.
That is amazing, Larry. With about 30 seconds left, what can you tell us about our role in the future of Israel? How should we as American Christians treat Israel?
Well, I think first and foremost, while we're living in this age of grace, the church age, we need to be praying for the peace of Israel. We need to support Israel. We need to bless the people of Israel in word and deed. We need to give them the good news of Yeshua Jesus. We need to share in deed as well. And we need to support all the people over in Israel and in the Middle East and share the good news, because the most important message that the Jewish people or any people need today is the good news of Jesus Christ. So I would say pray for the peace of Jerusalem and share the gospel and give as God leads you to give, demonstrating God's love in tangible ways.
Thank you very much, our guest, Larry Stamm. I'm Clayton Van Hus. Thank you for joining us today on the birthday of the nation of Israel.
Summoning the Demon, Artificial Intelligence and the Image of the Beast, Tom Horn's final book, is here. Will this mysterious image of the beast become realized through the emerging technologies of transhumanism, artificial intelligence, and the ungodly ambitions of a hive mind? Find out in Summoning the Demon. The dynamic changes detailed in this book unveil how godlike machines with the capability of crossing over species and extra-dimensional barriers put in place by God will soon be ushered in. Is there a way for citizens to be prepared for what is coming? Find out in Tom Horn's final book, Summoning the Demon, Artificial Intelligence and the Image of the Beast. Order your copy today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order this book at our website, swrc.com. Summoning the Demon, Tom Horn's final book, is yours for a gift of $22 or more when you call 1-800-652-1144. Tomorrow, we begin a deep dive into the world of biblical archaeology with Wayne House. Be sure to tune in on your favorite radio station by subscribing to our daily Watchman on the Wall podcast and by listening at oneplace.com, sermonaudio.com, and now at pray.com. Watchman on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com.